Hi everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. You're listening to episode 6 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by James Hoskins, who is a teacher, writer, and musician in Kansas City, Missouri. He teaches philosophy and science classes at a college prep high school, and he writes about the intersection of reason, faith, and culture at his blog philologos.net, as well as writes for the online magazine christandpopculture.com. James also has a MA in science and religion from Biola University. In the volume 39, number 2 issue of the Christian Research Journal, James has written a feature article called Digital Souls: What Christians Should Believe About Artificial Intelligence. James, it's good to have you on.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure. This is a very fascinating topic, and so it's been portrayed a lot in the media lately. And so why should Christians care about artificial intelligence, and that's also known as AI? Isn't it just like science fiction stuff?
Well, I think even if it is science fiction, before we can even answer that, I think Christians should care about it just because the idea is so prevalent in our culture. It's everywhere, and it almost is getting to the point where people seem to just be assuming that, you know, computers will become conscious one day. They're not. It's almost as though they're not wondering if they will, but just wondering when, and if the computers will be nice or mean when they wake up. You know, are they going to be like Terminator, or are they going to be like Wall-E or whatever? And there's a lot of experts that are expressing concern. Recently, in just the last few years, Stephen Hawking, Bill Gates, and Elon Musk, the head of Tesla Motors and SpaceX, they all have publicly expressed concern that, you know, AI could be dangerous for humanity if we are not careful. So I think just the fact that the idea of AI is everywhere in our culture, it's in movies and TV shows, and even technologists and scientists are expressing, you know, voicing concern and saying, we should be cautious about this. I think that alone gives Christians a reason to care about it and to want to think more deeply about it. But as far as whether or not it's science fiction, I mean, computers are getting really smart and powerful. You know, if you have an Apple phone, then we carry around in our pockets some small version of AI, you know, this personal assistant, Siri. And in the next couple years, self-driving cars are expected to be on the roads and are already being tested. And so, and those work, you know, use artificial intelligence to do what they do. So whether computers ever become conscious or not, they're getting very powerful and smart. And so I think Christians should care about it for those reasons too.
Yeah, I know that as people, we interact with AI regularly, not just Siri, but if you're ever in an area of customer service for a company and it says, join live chat now, you're actually chatting with a computer bot. It's not a real person typing something out on the other end. So thinking about that, is there a difference between a computer being conscious and just intelligent?
I think there is. You know, other people would probably say differently. Some people think that intelligence is a prerequisite for consciousness. So when a being, or whether it's a computer or an organism, gets to a certain level of intelligence, then it becomes conscious. But I think I think we can make a distinction between the two. Consciousness, we don't have an exact definition of these things. You know, philosophers and scientists are still debating them, but if we can say that consciousness is anything, I think it includes things like qualitative experiences. The philosopher Thomas Nagel has said that if something is conscious, then there is something that it would feel like to be that thing. So if a cat is conscious, then we could imagine being the cat and what it would feel like to be that cat. Versus a rock, there's nothing that it would feel like to be a rock because it's not conscious. So consciousness, whatever it is, seems to include things like qualitative experiences, a subjective awareness, a level of understanding. And intelligence, on the other hand, could be seen as merely a measure of something's problem-solving power or its computational abilities. So you could say that a calculator, for example, is intelligent, or a computer has some measure of intelligence, or a robot, but it's not necessarily having qualitative experiences. So I do think we can make a distinction there between consciousness and intelligence. And I think a lot of confusion about AI comes when we equivocate between those two and kind of blur them together.
In your article, you discuss philosopher John Searle, and he has something called the Chinese room argument. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah. So in 1980, Searle put forth this thought experiment that has now become very popular in the philosophy of mind area called the Chinese room argument. And he basically said that we cannot conclude that a computer is conscious or has understanding of what it's doing just by its behavior. And in the thought experiment, he said, imagine somebody who's a native English speaker in a room who speaks no Chinese whatsoever, who's locked in a room with some instructions in English and a room full of, you know, cards with Chinese characters on them. And people outside the room slip in cards with Chinese characters, and the person inside the room doesn't realize it, but these cards that are being slipped in are actually questions in Chinese. And this person follows the instructions and sends back out through the door or the slot or whatever a Chinese character according to the instructions that's actually an answer to the question. People outside the room might assume that the person inside understood Chinese language really well, when the person inside may have no clue what these Chinese characters mean, have no idea. They don't understand Chinese language at all. They're just following this mechanical instructions or program. And so Searle said that's basically what computers do. They're given input and they give the correct output by following a program. And just like we can't assume from the output that the person inside the room has understanding of the Chinese language, we can't assume that a computer, no matter how natural or human its output or behavior seems to us, we can't assume or conclude that it has understanding or consciousness either. That's essentially the argument.
You know, I know that so much has happened since like World War II in terms of computer science and its development. And I bring that up because a couple of years ago, there was the Oscar-nominated film, The Imitation Game. I don't know if you saw that, where Benedict Cumberbatch played the computer science pioneer Alan Turing. And I know even today, there's something called the Turing Prize for the Excellence in Computer Science. And so much has happened between now and then, but back when he was doing some things in World War II, what was the Turing test and was its impact today maybe on how we see computer science?
Yeah, I love that movie, by the way. So the Turing test, Alan Turing didn't originally call it that. It's been later called that after him. But in 1950, he did a paper on machine intelligence, and he proposed the idea that how can computers or machines think? And he said, we might not ever be able to know the answer to that question. So the best we could do is maybe say, since we know that we humans think, could a computer or machine ever act like a human in its responses in such a way that it would fool someone who didn't know they were talking to a computer? So he kind of proposed this, what he called the imitation game, which is what the movie's titled after, where you have a person, it's kind of like the Chinese room argument, you have a person talking to two different people through a room, sending messages back and forth. One of the people in the room is a human and the other is a computer, but the third person outside doesn't know which is which. And Turing said if a computer could fool that human into thinking that it was human based off of its behavior and responses, if it could fool it for 5 minutes, then it has passed this imitation game or Turing test. So that's what the Turing test is. And, some companies and technology companies and scientists have claimed that it's already been passed. There's already been computers that have fooled humans into thinking they're talking to a human. And Searle's Chinese Room argument was trying to show that even if something could pass the Turing test and fool people outside of the room, you still couldn't conclude that it had intelligence or that it had consciousness, or understanding.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is James Hoskins, who has written a feature article for the Volume 39, Number 2 issue of the Christian Research Journal called Digital Souls: What Should Christians Believe About Artificial Intelligence? This is a must-read article, so read it. By subscribing to the Christian Research Journal, a 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. We've been talking to James about artificial intelligence, and when we started out, you mentioned various scientists who have been concerned that AI poses a threat to humanity. So what are they actually saying about the possibility of AI?
Yeah, the reports differ basically on what type of scientist you're talking to. So Stephen Hawking, that was in the news that he came out concerned about AI, but he doesn't work in artificial intelligence. He's a physicist. He's very smart, but that's not his area of expertise. So it really depends on the type of scientist or philosopher where their area of expertise is. I've noticed this is just my own personal observation. It seems like people that work in computer science tend to be more optimistic about the power of AI. They're working in it and very impressed with what computers are doing, as to where scientists that work in actual consciousness, like neuroscience, seem to have a little bit more of a moderate opinion. There was a recent article actually in the New York Times that was running a series on misconceptions in science. And a journalist named John Markoff, who's written a lot about AI, and he said that most researchers in artificial intelligence are saying computers aren't going to outstrip human intelligent capabilities anytime soon. There's another scientist that I've found his theories pretty interesting, a guy named Christoph Koch, and he's a neuroscientist, so he's not necessarily working in computers, but in human brain and consciousness. And his theory is that you might be able to make an artificial brain if it was structured like the human brain that could have consciousness, but software is never going to be able to have consciousness. So things like Siri are never going to be able to have consciousness, according to him. Consciousness is only something that happens when you get a system physically structured like a human brain. So when you kind of dig down and read some of the experts that are actually doing work in these areas, it's not as intense as maybe some of the things that make it into the headlines and the media.
So thinking about like culture and film, how do recent films depict AI? I'm thinking of Her, which I saw, which seems to me to be the most one that we could realistically relate to, kind of like a Siri type of AI, and then also last year, Ex Machina, and also Transcendence.
Yeah, I think I liked all three of those movies, by the way. I think of those three, probably Ex Machina provides the most realistic version of AI, and not to give away any spoilers, but in that movie, it's an actual robot, humanoid robot so who supposedly has a brain structured similar to a human's. In her, like you said, it's the thing that is conscious is just a software program. And even though I enjoyed the movie and what they were trying to go for, there were moments in that movie where I was disappointed because the program is feeling sensations that you would only feel if you had a body, you know. So it seemed kind of odd. So Ex Machina seemed to be like the most realistic depiction. Transcendence, I had some other reservations about that simply because I don't think copying someone's mind onto a computer actually works.
So is strong AI, like consciousness of computers, possible? I know you were saying that some say software consciousness is not possible, but just the computer learning, will it become conscious?
You know, I don't really know. And my guess is no, but that's because of, you know, my beliefs about souls and where human consciousness comes from. I do think that computers can become really, really intelligent and smart to where they could mimic human consciousness in an effective way, maybe eventually. Christoph Koch said, you know, perhaps in 100 years you could have a computer or a program that could effectively mimic human consciousness, so a program that's pretends that it's having qualitative experiences, like it's feeling pain or it's in love, and do so in such a convincing way that it seems realistically human. But I don't know that, you know, we could ever conclude that it actually is having those experiences. I think that, you know, really the answer to that depends on what we think about souls. And since I believe we do have them, then I'm cautiously open to the possibility of computer consciousness, but I'm pretty skeptical of it.
So what should Christians believe about AI? I mean, all of us interact with intelligent computer programs, so you can start thinking as a person interacting with them, like, for example, a live chat on customer service, that you're interacting with somebody who's real. So how should we believe it impacts us, or what should we think about it, and how should we just keep a reminder to have a Christian worldview in the midst of interacting with AI?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think within the Christian worldview, there's some freedom to disagree on this issue, on whether computers can become conscious or not. I think a lot of it depends on our theological views about human beings and what consciousness is. Whether consciousness is something that is a property of a soul, or whether consciousness is just a property of a physical system once you get it working a certain way. And, you know, there are Christians that have both of those beliefs. Christians differ on that. So I think Christians should have a bit of an open mind, but it should cause Christians to dig deeper into their Bibles, into philosophy and theology, to really see where, you know, what the Christian worldview allows for belief in this. Because there's a lot of confusion in this area. Like, you know, earlier I talked about the confusion between consciousness and intelligence, when those two things we can make a distinction between the two. I think Christians need to try to think about it more deeply and make those fine distinctions and find a cautiously open-minded position that is within their worldview and that is compatible with Scripture.
So going back to Alan Turing for a minute, you just were talking about souls. What did he think about AI and souls?
Well, I'm not a Turing biographer or anything, so I don't know exactly, but from the stuff that I read of him, it seems like he didn't believe in souls and that he believed computers could eventually become conscious or intelligent just as humans. in his original paper in 1950, it seemed like he was not making a clear distinction between consciousness and intelligence, or kind of saying like the distinction doesn't really matter if computers act, or we could build machines that acted like humans in a convincing way, then we would just have to assume they were conscious just like us, because there's no other way of knowing. And I would disagree with him on that part. I don't think that a person or a computer's behavior is the only way of knowing whether they are conscious or not. And I talk more about that in the article. But it's funny because in his 1950 paper, Turing, he addresses the objection that machines couldn't be conscious because consciousness is only a part of souls. And he says, you know, something to the effect of like, well, I don't even really think this needs addressing because I don't believe in this. But since many people might have this objection, he says, you know, basically God can give a soul to whoever he wants. He could give it to an elephant and he could give it to a machine if we built it. So saying that consciousness is only a property of souls doesn't effectively refute his argument, because God could give a soul to a robot if he wanted, basically. But that assumes that's how people get souls, is through by God creating them ex nihilo, and not all Christians think that. So there's other views of how souls are transmitted.
So does theology and apologetics play a role in how we should be thinking about AI?
For sure, yeah. I think, you know, any talk about AI and computer consciousness immediately raises these spiritual and theological questions. And you know, I found it funny and interesting that Turing, in this paper that he submitted to Mind, the journal Mind, you know, he's addressing this theological objection, because you can't talk about even the possibility of computers being conscious without asking the question of, well, then where does our consciousness come from? And that immediately you are in the realm of theology and philosophy and worldview. And since a lot of the answers to these questions can't be determined scientifically, at least not yet, then where we fall and how we answer them largely depends on what our assumptions already are about these things, what our theological assumptions and philosophical assumptions. So I think apologetics can definitely play a role in how we answer, because apologetics studies things like, what does the Bible say about what a human being is and what a soul is, and so forth. So I think these views that we study in theology and apologetics are definitely going to affect how we answer this question, or at least what options we have in answering this question.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for James.
Okay,
how many siblings do you have, and what are their names?
One, a younger sister, and her name is Amy.
Did you go on vacation last year? And if you did, where did you go?
We did, but it was just a short trip down to the Lake of the Ozarks, which is about 3 hours from where we live.
Would you rather eat stir-fried frog legs or grilled horse meat?
Man, stir-fried frog legs or grilled horse meat?
Mm-hmm. Horse steak.
Well, definitely steak. Definitely
okay,
steak.
You'll go for the horse. Who is your best friend, and how did you meet?
My best friend is a guy named Chris, and he was my best man at my wedding. And we originally met in the music scene back when I was a working musician. Our bands played together, and then later he moved up to Kansas City, where I live, and joined the band I was in. So then we were in the same band for a while together, and so we've known each other and had lots of adventures, musical and intellectual adventures together. So, yeah.
And finally, can you change a tire?
You know, I can if I have the right tire iron. and the right Jack. But without those things, I cannot.
Well, thanks, James, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
James has an article in the Volume 39, Number 2 issue of the Christian Research Journal called Digital Souls, What Christians Should Believe About Artificial Intelligence. You don't want to miss this article, and a 6-issue subscription to the Christian Research Journal is $39.50. To subscribe online, go to equip.org. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you go to equip.org, where you can download our free smartphone app on which you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live, listen to previous broadcasts, make a donation, and subscribe to the Christian Research Journal.